The following podcast is scheduled for one fall. From the heart of Broadway in historic downtown Cape Girardeau, this is Pro Wrestling Unscripted.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Wednesday. It's the final day of May. May we entertain you tonight with an all-new episode of Pro Wrestling Unscripted on the Podzilla 1985 podcast. I almost said Cockcast, and that's a different
show. I don't know why I thought you were going to say the Podzilla 1985 Cop Out. Like, that's what I heard it going to,
which
for some reason.
Which, what was the original name? That wasn't it Dicks? Like, it was what it was called
for It's Always Sunny.
No, the movie Cop Out.
Oh, yeah.
I think
because Sunny was almost called Jerks,
which
that was the original name of the show.
It makes sense. I'm pretty sure
it makes a lot more sense than It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Yeah, so it was originally called A Couple of Dicks, and they changed the name to A Couple of Cops and then to Cop Out. Starring Bruce Willis and Tracy Morgan. I have seen this movie, and it's not good.
I never watched it. It looked bad from the get-go, and I was like, that seems like something not to bother wasting my time.
This is the movie that made Kevin Smith hate Bruce Willis.
And until all that changed. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, he said, never meet your heroes, and he just called Bruce Willis like a diva, and he went ham on him. But then, you know, everything that happened with Bruce Willis, and now they're on better terms. This is a wrestling show where we talk about wrestling.
We were talking about it's the Podzilla. Classic 2003 Scorched.
This is what you
before this.
We're 21 hours away from Diablo 4 Ultimate Edition Early Access, and what am I doing with my time? I've never heard of the film Scorched until Hunter pointed out to me. It's got a good cast. Rachel Lee Cook, crush button. Woody Harrelson, it's sad.
You know what's weird? Here's how I found it. Who's that guy? What's that guy's name? Paolo. So what I remembered was, okay, there's a guy in it who was in that doctor show on the USA Network. So I had to look up USA Network Paradise Doctors, and I knew what I was talking about. The show was called Royal Pains.
I remember that one,
the private doctors that dealt with celebrities and rich people. So one of the two guys on that show was Paolo Costanzo, whose name I could not remember. I would never have guessed that it was Paolo. No, I don't know, part of me thought that was his name. But it was him. Who was the other guy? There was another guy on that show. Mark Feuerstein, who you've probably seen on a bunch of other things as well. He was on Caroline in the City and all that. Yeah. So Paolo Costanzo, I get his name, and then I go looking through his filmography, and sure enough, 2003, Scorched. It's a movie about these bank tellers at this like little hole-in-the-wall bank in the desert who all have this plan about how they're gonna basically they want a better life. All of them do. Like, one of them wants to go to college, one of them just wants a more exciting life. So they all basically end up robbing the bank on the same night without knowing that that's what they're gonna do. One of them takes a bunch of money to Vegas and tries to like kind of split the difference so that they make money and then they return what they stole so that no one ever knows. It's a whole thing. At the end, I'm gonna spoil the 2003 classic Scorched for you.
Okay, all right, careful. All right, spoiler alert, guys. 3, 2, 1.
At the end, they all get what they want. They come back in the next day. They all hate their boss anyway, and so one by one, they quit and they leave him like ruined because basically the upper management was like, "If your bank gets robbed one more time, like you're fired." It's a real dumb plot. It was one of those things they showed on Comedy Central just constantly back when they could get that thing for a song because it made nothing at the box office. So,
I do like the idea of your boss telling you if this bank gets robbed one more time, you're done.
Now all I'm thinking of is Faison Love doing it. If it gets robbed one more time.
One more time. That reminds me, I could tie this into wrestling. Obscure shows from that area, especially from the USA Network. I guess Royal Pains wasn't really an obscure show, but
it's not the most remembered show anymore.
That would be like what, like a Burn Notice and A couple of those.
Burnout is the main one that comes to mind from that era. There were a couple others that were good, but the names of them are not coming to me at all.
So the one that I always remember that always sticks out to me, and it's I've never watched the show, so I don't know if it's any good or not, but I remember as a kid, because it started in 91, and I was a wee lad in 91, and it went through from 91 through, I think, 99 or something like that, I want to say. But every time I would watch Raw, and if you're older, you know, if you're in that era like we are,
I know where this is going.
You may remember this show too. I would see commercials for it all the time. It was called Silk Stockings.
Silk Stockings. Yeah, Silk I knew that's Stalkings. Where that was going.
Yes.
Yep.
And
that was the other one. That was like their first big USA Network like hit. Yeah.
And as a kid, you know, the title and the way they presented the show was this really sexed up cop show. And I wanted to watch it so bad because I was a kid. I wanted to see sexy girls doing sexy things. I want to see sexy cops being sexy. but I never watched the show. And, you know, years later, you realize it was on the USA Network. It wasn't going to be that sexy to begin with.
No.
They couldn't get away with it. Now, if you want it sexy, you watch The Red Shoe Diaries on Showtime with David Duchovny, who then went on to star in, oh, what was that show he did where he was the sex addict? The sex was so real on that show.
Californication.
Yeah, that dude had to go to sex rehab. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I had forgotten, speaking of those USA Network shows, Monk. I forgot that that's where Monk aired. Mm-hmm. It was such a big deal. That was the big one. And then the other big one coming out of that was Psych. That was the those were like the big ones at that time. And then you had Burn Notice was kind of down the tier a little bit.
Yeah.
But White Burn Notice Collar, had Bruce White Campbell. Collar was huge then. That's true. White Collar and Royal Pains were kind of like right behind that. Covert Affairs was what was her name? Piper Perabo was in Covert
Affairs. Piper Perabo, yeah. Like Piper Perabo.
And then I don't remember Fairly Legal or In Plain Sight at all. I have no idea what those were.
I remember In Plain Sight, but I do not remember Fairly Legal. The point is that the USA Network had a lot of shows that you may or may not remember. One of those shows was Monday Night Raw, which is a show that we'll be talking we won't be talking about it tonight, but we're going to talk about wrestling. By the way, my name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. I am one of the big stars of Cape Championship Wrestling, indie darling Shannon Young. With me, of course, we have Double H, the original general manager of Cape Championship Wrestling.
Hey-o.
And former host of The Fix on Real Rock 99.3. Yeah, sometimes I really want to like.
Which no longer exists.
I want to go through our accolades sometimes.
I'm here for it.
Justify why we exist.
Rather than here at home, it's at my my place of work. I have a shadow box that has all my radio stuff in it, and only occasionally, I'll be around those people, you know, most of the year, and then they'll go, "How long has that been there?" The whole time, been there the whole time. I also have because my mom got it. I feel like I've got to keep it. The Weekly Record, which is the New Madrid newspaper. I grew up in New Madrid originally. They came and did like a little interest piece on me when I started working at River Radio because small town kid is on the radio. Okay, first of all, that article's from 2008. I was not even yet a full-time employee at River Radio. I was still part-time.
Right.
I did not have a regular show or a shift even. I was just kind of doing stuff on the weekends and whatever. They put me on the cover of the paper. The picture is like the main story of that edition. And so, of course, my mom framed it, and it's also hanging alongside
that. That reminds me. A couple years ago, I got contacted by her name was Rachel, and she worked at the Southeast. Is it the Southeast Missourian?
Downtown in Cape?
Yeah.
The Southeast Missourian.
It was around Christmas time, and they were doing an article on depression during the holidays. And,
oh, I remember this.
Yeah, she knew I was depressed because I posted it a lot. And so she asked me if I would be willing to be in the article. And I was like, yeah, sure, of course. You know, whatever I can do to spread awareness about, you know, holiday and depression, stuff like that. So I go down there and do the interview. They take a couple pictures. They're like, yeah, we're going to interview a couple other people for it too. And, you know, we'll put you in the article. I was like, all right, cool. Then the article comes out and I'm the fucking poster boy for it. Here's front page, Shannon Young, depression, suicide thoughts during the holidays. And I'm like, oh, good. So my ex-girlfriend who used to be on the show with us, her mom sent me a message saying, saw your article. And I'm like, yeah, that's what I want.
You just get a, You get a bunch of texts at the holidays and just like, you good?
You good, bro?
Question mark.
Saw your article. Yeah. That's what I want to be known for anyway.
Oh, man.
Hey, so it's wrestling, and every week we start off with the things we hate in pro wrestling this week, as opposed to the nerdiest part of the ring where they start with the power of positivity. Of course, that was 10 minutes ago. So...
Yes.
10 minutes have flown by without any talk of wrestling. I don't know who's still listening at this point, but I'll tell you what the thing I hated most in wrestling this week was, and it's the same thing I hate every time it happens. It's going back to Saudi Arabia. I can't pick anything else. Saudi Arabia is, I don't care how progressive they get, I don't care how much they flaunt that, look, women can exist now. It doesn't matter, because this is still the country that, you know, slaughtered a journalist and then tried to cover it up. And yep. As a journalist, I took that personally. from what I understand, it was the best Saudi show they've ever done.
That's what I was going to say. It seems like the matches were very good this time around, which is great. Still didn't watch it.
Right. They also had a massive storyline advancement, which we are going to talk about. But I agree with Hunter. I also did not watch it. Contracts be damned. I still think it's shameful that the WWE sold out to go to Saudi Arabia. And I get it. Why would that surprise me after everything else WWE has done? Sure, good point. But right. It still disappoints me. What about you, Hunter? You got anything that you're particularly irritable about?
It's not a big deal. It's a minor thing. And it's part of like an upcoming run of things to kind of run down. But I don't love Shayna Baszler and Ronda Rousey winning the women's tag titles.
I don't either.
Happened on Raw. There were a bunch of shakeups in the women's divisions in both WWE and AEW, and a lot of those are good moves. This one, I've seen here. Okay, here's what I don't like about this. Here's what really bothers me the most about it is that the hot take right now is, well, who else are you going to give it to? Literally anyone.
Yeah.
Literally anyone else but them. Ronda Rousey, last I checked, was going to be out with an injury for a while, if I remember correctly. I guess that's not a thing now, which, I mean, I'm not wishing injury on anybody, but I just, if that's still the case, why are you putting the belts on them? If that's not the case, I still don't want to see Ronda Rousey wrestle. I've never wanted to see Ronda Rousey wrestle. Well, no, the one time that Ronda Rousey was entertaining in a WWE ring was at that WrestleMania where she and The Rock dealt with Triple H and Stephanie. That was it. That was all anyone needed to see, because it turns out that the one like little judo hip move that she did then is all she knows how to do. She can't wrestle. She can't talk. She doesn't have any kind of like interesting character. Her character is, I'm Ronda Rousey. Okay, well, Ronda Rousey lost her last two UFC fights. What am I supposed to be impressed by?
she lost so bad that she quit fighting. Like she left.
Yes.
She was like, no, I can't.
Yes.
Nah, bruv. Can't
and I was, I think, the only person among our friend group who actually really liked Shayna Baszler in NXT, but the moment they called her up to the main roster, it has been nothing but downhill. She has been just crapped on constantly. So now when she finally gets a chance, it's like, well, she's only getting a chance because she's working with Ronda Rousey. I don't like it. I don't care for it at all. And I know, again, those tag titles in the women's division have been devalued left and right. People getting injured. They sit on the same team for a long time with no movement because there's really no challengers. I've seen, you know, the argument of, well, this is what will it, no, it won't. This won't legitimize them. This just puts them on to people who aren't going to do anything else anyway. Well, so
my problem,
might as well.
My problem with Baszler and now with the tag titles in general was that you put the title on someone that's so dominant that it bores me. Like and I've always hated the like super dominant wrestler. I've always hated the idea that like this person is so, like no one can beat them. Look how tough they are.
It's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, they could take six finishers, seven finishers. Because then it's, you know, Strowman was bad about it because I thought, well, if you got a guy that's this strong and this powerful, like how does anyone beat him? Like, you know, you've got Strowman, a guy that can throw ambulances. He takes multiple finishers and kicks back out. And Rousey's kind of the same way. She's been portrayed so dominant, and Baszler was the same way in NXT, and they haven't really done the same with her on the main roster. I'm sure they will now that she's being the champion.
Right.
But like, it's just boring when you have two people that's like, well, these guys are so powerful and so tough and so strong, no one can hurt them. Well, then who's gonna hurt them? Like, I don't give a shit. You know,
the only thing that's really ironic about this to me is that I had never considered that was something that you didn't like, and yet one of your all-time favorite wrestlers, if not the number one guy, is Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, but that was
Hulk Hogan just existed to do that.
That was a different time. That was kid Shannon, you know, like adult Shannon. Okay.
I got
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I still
different
love
time for you, not right. for I,
right,
I,
right. Yeah. I still love that era of Hogan, just because again, that's that nostalgia factor that tickles my nostalgia bone.
Well, and there's something to be said too for he didn't really do it first, I guess, but he kind of did it first. He did it first for you, at least.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. He was the first guy you saw doing that. Anybody who did it after that, it's like the Undertaker. Like the Undertaker was really cool, but then the Fiend was basically the Undertaker, but worse. And we all went, well, I don't want that.
I don't want that. Give me what we already
did that.
When you're a kid, like kid Shannon was, you know, absolutely in love with Hulk Hogan because he was dominant. Like when you're a kid, it's like, oh, he can't be beat. He's the best guy here. But as you get older, and kids do it now, like kids see people like Lesnar or Strowman or guys like that, and they're like, oh man, no one could beat them. And John Cena was that way. It's a prideful thing. But as you get older and you start to understand the business more and you understand that this isn't like, it's not like, you know, when I was younger, I loved Roy Jones Jr. as a boxer. I was a big Roy Jones Jr. fan. Oscar De La Hoya, guys like that. They couldn't be beat, but they were in a legitimate sport. And not that wrestling's not a sport, but you know what I mean? They were in unscripted combat. And it's different when you have somebody in unscripted combat that's knocking everybody on their ass, like Tyson, because then you can really get behind them and go, man, this guy's the best. But in a scripted sport where the only reason the person is so dominant is because they're being written to be so dominant.
Someone wanted them to be.
Yeah. And as you get older, that gets boring because you're like, there's no drama. There's, you know, I can't go back and watch the Hogan era in the 80s and be like, man, this is exciting because I know Hogan's going to win. Same thing with Cena during that period. It's like, there's no drama. I like it much more like Jesse Kimball in Call of Duty. I like a more even fight. I like for it to be challenging at this point. I don't go for the ultra dominant champion. And I think that's what they're going to do with Rousey and Baszler. And I'm just not into it. Not interested.
Nope. Same.
So fuck them. Hunter, I got a special. I got a special edition motherfucker of the week.
Uh-oh. Yeah, because we're not going to get a new one tomorrow. So what's up?
And this is a pro wrestling related motherfucker of the week. It's the Missouri State Athletic Commission.
I was going to ask you about this earlier today. I saw that you had vented about them, but not with any details. So what's going on with the old Athletic Commission?
I don't know if I should say this out loud yet because of what's going on, but I'm going to say it anyway because I don't give a shit. It's my show. It's my company.
Might as well.
We have a show scheduled. CCW has a show scheduled June 24th. It is Malden Mania. We're going back to Malden. This is the first time wrestling has been in Malden in like 20 years. This is a very big deal. This is the thing. I didn't realize this. I was talking to Big Lee about it. Big Lee's dad was one of the last champions that wrestled in the Malden, like in Malden. They have footage of like one of the last matches that Malden ever had, and that's very, very cool. So we had this show all booked up. I'm in a tag match. It's me and Ozzie Tomlin versus Jeff King and Justin the Juice Smart. It's the only match they've announced so far, and we're all excited about it. We're making plans. Well, then we get a notice today that because the Missouri Athletic Commission doesn't have enough I can read you the hold on, I'll read you the exact fucking message. I don't care anymore. I don't care. Let's go hard. Let's go hard on them.
This can't be good. just in general.
It's the Office of Athletics does not have any inspectors available to work. Okay, hold on. Okay, Jason. Jason Wells, of course. On June 24th. And by the way, let me throw this out there. All things that I say right now are based on me, not Jason or CCW. Okay. Jason.
There you go.
On June 24th, the Office of Athletics does not have any inspectors available to work you show. That's good. That's professional. That night, there was a boxing show in Kansas and an MMA show in St. Louis, plus a wrestling show in Springfield, Jefferson City, and St. Louis. The only two remaining inspectors are on vacation who work the St. Louis area, and there is no one else left to work your show. You can pick another date and submit a permit. We will use this permit fee. If not, a refund check will be sent to you. Please advise. So, in other words, the June 24th show is not going to happen. We have to reschedule it. And here's why that's bullshit. So you have an entire state. And in the entire state, you have like six employees. And what does the Missouri Athletic Commission do? They come to the show. They collect money. They collect a dollar for every person that comes to the show to pay their fucking, you know, employees that apparently can't work.
Right.
And that's it. They literally do nothing else. I've seen these motherfuckers sit up there and watch half the show and leave. And like, wow, you're really collecting your paycheck here tonight, aren't you, buddy? They literally, they're like fucking pimps. They come in and they collect their money for no reason. They have a stranglehold on the wrestling market in Missouri for no reason other than someone elected it. And they offer no help. They do nothing for us. All they do is take away. It is a scam. It is an absolute fucking scam.
So,
and like, fuck them. I don't care if I get in trouble for this. Fuck them. What a ripoff.
It sucks that you know, it's not going to be in Malden, and I know this is probably not the place to solve these issues, but my immediate thought is, what if you just run it in Illinois on the same night? Find a venue in Illinois and run it there, because they don't have an athletic commission, right?
Like, they
don't have to get permission from anybody.
No, and that's we are looking to run Illinois more in the future. Like, we're trying to kind of get away from Missouri, and since we're lucky enough that we're right on the border of Illinois and Cape, it's like, man, there's got to be a way to, like, just cross the border a little bit and not lose our fans, because we love Cape. We love our fans in Cape. That's no joke. We would rather run in Cape Girardeau. It's Cape Championship Wrestling. But, like, the Missouri Athletic Commission, just they raise their prices. They charge for everything. We pay, you know, we pay to get our blood work done. We pay for our fucking license. And then we pay these commissioners to come to the show to do absolutely nothing other than to count how many people are there so they can collect more money. They do nothing for us. It is absolutely ridiculous. And I'm sick of it. I don't know what to do. There's nothing I can do other than bitch about it online. And like a hot-blooded American, that's exactly what I'm going to do. Some of the people that work for them.
Well, you're dug in.
Well, I'm dug in. I don't have to change my mind. I'm American. Rock, flag, and eagle. Right, Hunter?
right.
I've met some of the people that they send. I won't name any names because I don't want to get anybody in trouble. But, you know, one I was a big fan of. Super nice guy. Haven't seen him in forever. We got a new guy. He doesn't seem bad. It's not his fault. He's just working there. But it's such a fucking scam. And some states, a lot of states don't deal with that. Stride and AFU, they don't have to deal with that shit in Illinois. And it's like Chris Jones said on Facebook today when I posted that, it's killing the Missouri wrestling scene. And that's a shame because the Missouri wrestling scene is so historic. So I hate what they're doing to us. But I just wanted to rant a little bit because I'm not going to be able to rant tomorrow. And I'm really pissed off about it. But let's go on with the stories. We got stories.
I mean, kind of. The biggest news really broke 10 minutes before we went. Well, before we were going to go on the air originally. But it's now official. You got to get that turtle, man. It's now official. So we were joking yesterday that Tony Khan, you won't believe this, was making another announcement on AEW. The guy just got announcements to spare. But it's now official. The announcement from tonight on Dynamite is that, so the last time we made one was that they're adding a new show to the AEW lineup, which is Collision, airs on Saturdays. It's the first episode is going to be on Saturday, June 17th, a week before what you were just talking about, in Chicago at the United Center. Of course, all the rumors were this is where CM Punk comes back. But when it was announced, we went over this in depth on the last PW, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
When this was announced, Punk was not part of it. It looked like he had been replaced last minute. Maybe he hadn't reached a deal, whatever. Now, as of tonight's announcement, it is official. CM Punk is returning to AEW at that very specific show. For what it's worth, he's been off TV since All Out 2022, which was that in the summer? Has it been a year? It's close to a year.
It's creeping up
point.
On a year, yeah.
Yeah, we're getting close to a year. So, officially he is coming back. Now, for now, that's literally all we know. In terms of all the backstage stuff, has he cleared the air with anybody? Is this still the let's do a roster split so that we can get him and the Elite on two different shows? We don't know. We have no idea. None of that's changed. All we know is the what is effectively the breaking news for us. Because, again, it happened just like a couple hours ago.
Man, talking about guys who were dominant, and you talked about Hulk Hogan. Hogan, of course, you know, definitely backstage politician. And what's funny is when CM Punk, you know, did that infamous pipe bomb promo on Raw, and he talked about the backstage politician and the ass kissers, and he mentioned Hogan, and he mentioned Cena, and he mentioned The Rock. Imagine being a guy in a company that either they have so much faith in you, or you have manipulated this billionaire mark so much that they are literally creating another show just for you so you can pull your friends that you like and the people you like onto it and avoid people that you beefed with. Hogan never even did that shit. That's
no,
a whole new
not
level.
Even when he went, not even when he went to TNA. The worst thing Hogan did in TNA other than the you know, kind of running the show and him and his buddies kind of slowly transforming other people into versions of them was the four-sided ring.
Yep.
Was taking away the six-sided ring.
Yeah.
That was it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, he definitely did some damage to the identity of it at that time. But also, that wasn't just Hogan. That was Hogan, and that was Bischoff. That was kind of Flair, Carter. Too. He had a hand in that. Dick Carter wasn't helpful.
Right.
This is – well, okay, Tony Khan, obviously, because he owns the company. But this is Punk and Tony Khan. I mean – The rumor is they're the ones that are sitting on the porch and drawing up the, you know, drafting up the ideas.
Drinking,
you gotta
some
imagine
lemonade.
At this point they're drafting rosters. Yeah,
right.
Maybe a Pepsi or two.
Yeah, yeah. Not alcohol. That's for sure.
Well, no, because he's straight edge.
Yeah, just Pepsi for
Which
Punk.
Better than you.
Pepsi for Punk and cocaine for Tony.
I don't know, man. I don't know what else we can say about this beyond what we said the last time that this was brought up. It's just now it's official. You know, this was always what it seemed like it was heading toward. So basically 2 weeks from this Saturday, we'll know what CM Punk and AEW looks like again.
This is going to be monster ratings for AEW on that first show.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in the United Center. So,
I gotta change the name real quick if you want to just vamp for a second there.
I'm glad that they worked out their differences because I think AEW does need a CM Punk. Punk got them their biggest gate of all time. He, you know, despite what he did and you know, all the controversy around it. I mean, Punk is their biggest star. You could say Kenny Omega. You could say Chris Jericho. I don't know why you would. You could say these other guys. But Punk is, like, their big star. I remember when he came back the first time, and just it was a monumentous occasion. I mean, this was something you told your friends about.
Yeah, it's the only time, for what it's worth, that I remember anyway, that I've watched AEW live.
Yeah, same.
Like, I've watched AEW a couple times, and I've pulled up episodes, you know, on YouTube or whatever.
Clips,
but
obviously.
The only time that I remember finding a way to get TBS live at that time, or TNT. TNT?
TNT.
Whatever.
I'm pretty sure. They know
TNT
drama.
Was when, when Punk was coming in.
Yeah.
And that was huge. It was a huge deal. Yeah. I think it kind of fizzled a little bit after that, but apparently AEW doesn't agree because... They're going to go full force on this.
Can Lightning strike twice for CM Punk? Will there be any resentment or bitterness by the fans? I doubt in Chicago. I mean, they're going to eat it up. But what happens after Chicago? You know, what happens?
Everything going forward is dependent, I think anyway, on, not to inflate the guy's ego anymore, on CM Punk.
Yep.
It's all dependent on CM Punk. How does he want to handle this? Because if he wants to come back and put all this stuff behind him and be a team player, even if he's the one who drafted his own team, then I think it'll be fine, you know? But Punk has always been kind of a, what do you call it? He's kind of a force of nature for himself, and but also kind of a mark for himself.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I mean, in that way, he and Tony Khan are very similar. Yeah, I mean, if Punk wants to do the thing, he'll do it. If he doesn't, it's not gonna go well. And I feel like if anything like what happened last time happens again, that's got to be it, right? Because we just assumed last time was it. This time feels like it may be even worse.
Well, yeah, I mean,
if it goes down again, it's done.
Dude goes in there with his friend and starts biting people and throwing dogs and shit like that. Like, yeah, you would assume that's it for the guy, but because it's one of those things that, like, if this was a lower level guy, if, you know. I don't know. Who's a lower level guy in AEW?
Wheeler Yuta.
Well, and at least he's in the Blackpool Combat Club. Somebody like
Ricky Starks.
Ricky Starks, or a what is the Trent guy? I keep trying to think of this one guy that's gonna drive me crazy. Trent. Chuck Taylor. Chuck Taylor.
Trent Beretta
is who I was thinking
Trent
of.
Brother, Chuck
but it was Chuck Taylor I was thinking of. If one of those guys did this, they'd be gone. He would have bounced his ass so quickly. But because CM Punk is CM Punk and he makes so much money, you get away with certain things. I mean, that's the price of fame. But at some point, if you have a cancer in your locker room, like Punk seems to be, you have to cut that cancer out. And I don't know if Tony Khan has the Fritos to do that. So
I think this is his version of doing that. He doesn't want to let him go. He wants to keep him handy. So he's going to put him on his own thing and make him do his own thing. And hopefully that doesn't exacerbate the issue, that fixes it. My question is, how long does that last before somebody goes, why do these people get to do their own thing?
Yeah.
Why are they just getting to do sort of whatever they want? And now they're over here in their own land, and we're over here, it doesn't even feel like the same company anymore. Somebody, I feel like, eventually is going to be one of those people who is wanted by both sides, and that's going to be the problem.
Now, with that said, if they really do a brand split and you take all of these people and put it on the Collision show, then I'll watch Collision because I like the roster already. I mean, Punk, aside right. from Punk, because I like Punk, but I soured on Punk a long time ago. I still like the dude, but Thunder Rosa and FTR, guys like that, I would love to see these guys, or Samoa Joe. I would much rather watch them work than watch the Jerichos and the Young Bucks. I like Kenny Omega. I have never been a fan of the Young Bucks. I know they're good. Yeah. Dalton is madly in love with them, but I was never a fan of their shtick. So I would much rather watch that other show. So if it's true, maybe I'll tune in. I doubt it. But as long as they don't go to Saudi Arabia, they already got a leg up on the WWE. So other than CM Punk, I know I'll say this real quick. Congratulations to Alexa Bliss and that one guy that sang that one song.
Ryan Cabrera. That's his name.
Yeah.
They officially announced that. I kind of like this. People do this thing nowadays where they announce that they're pregnant, even though it's Alexa Bliss who's pregnant, right? So their way of addressing that was Ryan in one of the pictures was wearing a shirt that said "We're pregnant," and then underneath it said, "Well, really, it's just her, but I'm here too." that's pretty good. I like that. I was just reading. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, have you seen the thing about they're blaming Asuka for it?
Oh yeah, because everyone Asuka works with ends up pregnant.
She's like some kind of magical aphrodisiac.
I was reading something just before we came on about that. Alexa's been talking a little more about other than just the fact that she's pregnant and they're having a kid. People were asking her, like, when did she know and all that, and she said she was preparing for a return to the ring, like they were going to bring her back in to do some things, and she said, "I just hadn't been feeling great," and so I was like, "I better take a test," and she goes, and I think the first thing I said was, "Oh, shit." So, there you go. But yeah, she's been on TV for a little while. She admitted in that, or not admitted, but said in that same interview, you know, WWE had let me go and do some things, like The Masked Singer and a couple of other things when I needed some time off. And it just happened to work out that this is happening at the tail end of that. So rather than me going back to TV and then coming back off, like, just going to stay out for a little while, you know, then I'll look at coming back sometime after this is all the case. But no, that's awesome. They seem really excited about it. And I can't say enough about when people want kids, those are the people who should have kids.
Too many people
who don't have them because they think they have to. These guys have already admitted, like, I don't like saying it was a mistake. It's not a mistake. It was something they weren't planning for, but they are planning to carry through with, which is awesome. So that's cool on the platform.
Well, let's just what else you got? Otherwise, let's just skip to the big.
We're gonna marathon everything, man. Because I mean, really, the CM Punk deal was the big deal. So there were a ton of shakeups in the women's divisions, as we mentioned earlier, in the both companies, both of the big two right now. I think I've got this chronologically. So Tiffany Stratton won the NXT Women's Championship. No, that would have been Sunday, so that was afterward. Anyway, that's the order I got them in here. Tiffany Stratton's the new NXT Women's Champion. I think we all saw that one coming. No one was really all that surprised there, especially when the masked like attacker at NXT was revealed to be that Blair Davenport. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which the rumor for a little while was it's Mandy Rose. Had it been Mandy Rose, then I could have seen that was going to be different.
That would have been much, much cooler.
Nope. Yes. Asuka, is the new Raw Women's Champion. She won the title from Bianca over at Sweet Saudi Blood Money. That's also not a big surprise to me. I think a lot of people, I don't think they're cooling on Bianca. I just don't think there's anything else to do with Bianca as the champion for the time being. Not to mention, she's on SmackDown now.
And it very much, she kind of runs the risk of kind of
getting John Cena'd.
Yes, burning out because of her dominance. I like Bianca Belair. But give her something fresh to do. You know, she's been champion for a while. You don't want to be champion for too long because then it starts to become a chore to watch your matches when they end the same way. I'm not directing that at anybody in particular. We'll get to that a little
certainly
bit later,
not.
Maybe.
Toni Storm is the AEW Women's Champion. She won that one back from Jamie Hayter, which, I mean, no big surprise again that, of course, the Outcasts were going to do that. They're the big thing in the women's division in the AEW now. And then speaking of people who hold titles for too long, Jade Cargill lost the TBS title to Chris Statlander, who returned. That one, I think, was a bigger surprise, honestly, than all the other stuff. I think that kind of overshadowed the other one because Jade Cargill had gone, what, 50-0, I think she ended up being? She got like a 50-win streak before she was defeated.
And I'm a little bit surprised at that one because I don't know how to say this correctly. I don't care for Jade Cargill. I don't see the appeal.
She's fine. I don't see the massive appeal. She's a perfectly cromulent talent.
She's got a good look. She briefly feuded with a rapper. I don't even remember which rapper it was.
I think AEW wanted Jade Cargill to be their Bianca Belair. I think that's what they were looking for, was a strong, dominant black female to be the lead of their division. And Bianca Belair's got the X factor that Jade Cargill just doesn't have.
Well, and also the experience, because Bianca Belair's been doing this way longer. Cargill is so green that it's shocking that they put such a streak on her. But even more surprising is the fact that Chris Statlander just came out of nowhere and beat her. Like, there was no build. There was no long-term on angle on TV where they're building toward the match. It was just a shock moment, and it feels weird.
But to alleviate some of that, you might not remember this. I had to look, and I thought it was the case. Chris Statlander was one of the first people to challenge her for that title.
And they've always said Statlander was going to take it. That was always the rule.
Right, so that was the long-term storytelling. The thing is, AEW played it as, we want you to forget that Statlander exists until we need her to beat her for the title, so that it'll be a big surprise, and then we can go, oh, remember when she did this? That's not really long-term storytelling. Like you said, you need people to do things with that leading up to it. An allusion to the idea that she might be coming back, or that she's coming back for the title at some point. We haven't gotten that. Statlander just kind of disappeared for months when she was injured. So
yeah,
I think that was the thing that didn't really sell it for me either.
And it also feels like a hollow victory in a way, because, you know, Jade Cargill had a match with Taya Valkyrie, and then Statlander comes out and beats her. So it's, I get that the story. I think the storyline they're going with is that Jade's ego of, I'll fight anyone anytime, give me another opponent, finally came back to haunt her. But I still feel like it takes a little bit away from Statlander's victory, because she beat a woman that had already had a match with a pretty strong opponent in Taya Valkyrie.
It's like cashing in Money in the Bank as a face. Like, unless you're cashing in on some super despicable heel, nobody's going to cheer for you being the guy who just beat someone who got the crap kicked out of him 5 seconds ago.
It's like Cody Rhodes winning the fucking Royal Rumble at, like, number, what, 30 or 29 or whatever? Yeah. And it's like,
he was 30. He was the last one.
Oh, good for you. You won fresh over everybody else. What a trooper.
Yeah, exactly.
What a trooper. Tiffany Stratton, it's Tiffy time. I'm excited about that. I'm all for Tiffany Stratton. She's got a great look. I think she needs some work on her promos, but who doesn't? We all do. She's good in the ring. I love her finishing move. She has a great moonsault. So we'll see what happens with that. And then Toni Storm winning, it's whatever, man. It's whatever. That whole outcast thing, it's whatever. Good for Tony.
I'm still a little surprised that Toni Storm is the one they're going with there. It sort of feels like Ruby Soho traded one company for another, right?
Yeah.
She's just back in a trio where now she's not even the leader.
No, she's
third
tier. And
it's kind of treated as an afterthought pretty regularly.
And she's third tier. She's third tier to Toni Storm, who's the champion. She's third tier to
Soraya.
Yeah, who is... barely can wrestle, literally can barely wrestle because of injuries and all that. Yeah. And she's third tier. Ruby Soho, of all the people that made the jump from WWE to AEW, I think Ruby Soho is the one I feel the worst for. Because, she left WWE because they weren't doing anything with her. She goes over like a house of fire in AEW for about 2 weeks, and then she's immediately thrown down the well.
Yeah. So, well, she was sacrificed on the altar of Britt Baker early on.
Yes, as were many.
Yeah, I was going to say, which was another kind of like Jade Cargill situation, maybe a bit of a mistake. I like Britt Baker, don't get me wrong, but I don't know that she has the staying power in terms of in-ring capability that they want. You see, they're kind of backing off on that now. She's doing a lot of stuff with Adam Cole. She does a lot of press for them, but her matches are not super involved, and they're definitely not very long either.
I liked Britt Baker until she couldn't stop running her fucking mouth about Thunder Rosa. Like... I'm a big Thunder Rosa fan. I like Thunder Rosa.
We talked about that too.
We talked about that last week or whenever we did last PW.
2 weeks.
So women's division shaking up. Cool. What else we got?
Because
that duty's calling.
Two big names showed up in NXT this week. Big names for NXT anyway. Mustafa Ali now appears to be back in NXT. I say back. Was he in NXT in the first place? Did he get called up or did he go straight to the main roster?
I can't remember. I thought maybe he was on 205 Live originally. I really can't remember.
That sounds right. He seems to be working with Wesley and Tyler Bate, which is probably good for him. Mustafa Ali has been through a lot of weird character changes over the past 6 months to a year. He needs to just get recentered as a character. He's a great wrestler.
So,
but he needs to be something.
I have to say that I don't know if you saw that video of it's one of my. I meant to send it to you and ask if you'd seen it. It was after Mustafa Ali won the shot at Gunther, and he was backstage, and he walks by Otis, Maxine Dupri, and Chad Gable, and they're complaining. Did you see this video? They're complaining.
No.
Oh my god, it's so funny. They're complaining because they lost. They're all like sitting around complaining and blaming each other. And Mustafa Ali walks by and he's like, "Can I offer you guys some advice?" And the way Otis says "No!" is just very, very funny. And then Ali says something like, "You know, I used to be a loser like you, and now I believe in myself. And look at me now, winning." And he just goes, "Yay!" and walks off. And it's the funniest fucking thing. I was like, "This is hilarious!" And he walks right into Gunther and Imperium, and it was just a great segment. I thought, okay, well, surely, like, this dude is so talented, they're not going to crush him in Saudi Arabia. And then they crushed him in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So maybe NXT is the best for him, for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, he's a guy who, if he never finds, like, a character that works for both him and the audience and everything, then he's a super talented hand, and that's basically the NXT North American division, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Wesley and Dragon Lee and all the other Lees, no Brody Lee because we lost that one, but like that's
Shannon Lee,
that's you know, Bruce yeah, Lee. Exactly. Yeah, there, yeah, Bruce Lee, Bro Lee,
yeah,
who I did unlock the other day, by the way.
Does he just anyway. Fist? He just punches, I'm assuming.
Okay, oh, yeah, he kind of does like a weird, like, uppercut thing, it's weird, anyway. And then the other big change in NXT, so Carmelo Hayes, new NXT champion coming out of the WrestleMania weekend, all of that. He beats Braun Breaker again, solidifies himself as the champion, and his next feud will now be a repackaged Baron Corbin, who is in NXT again. And I'm going to say it before you're going to say it. I don't hate Baron Corbin. Baron Corbin's perfectly fine by me. Yes. I think he's plenty talented. He's just another guy like Mustafa Ali who's had a weird string of gimmicks that were up and down, and sometimes they were enjoyable and sometimes they weren't, but he's got the charisma, he's got the talent.
Yeah.
He just needs some direction.
He has embiggened every role they've given him.
You know? Yes. Yeah. The only thing, honestly, that weirds me out about, I don't know if you saw him arriving in NXT, his end of days on Carmelo Hayes looked freaking great. He ran down, he's got the I forget what his shirt says. He had a shirt on that said something about just, like, destroying people. I don't know, it was something about the Destroyer, I think. So it really sounds like he's kind of going back to the lone wolf Baron Corbin, but he shaved his head. The thing is, he shaved his head and he has no facial hair either. So the man is just cue ball central.
He wants to be
it's
pure.
Too much.
Yeah, he wants to be pure.
Yeah, yeah. Like, he looks like like Frank Reynolds. Like he's rolling around in the the hand sanitizer. he needs some facial hair or something. But if I recall correctly, the last time I saw him grow facial hair, it kind of looked like he had just glued a few pieces on here and there. So maybe he doesn't. I don't know. Anyway, hopefully that's good news for him because Baron Corbin's a guy who has taken everything, like you said, that they've given him and done something with it. He's tried to make it into a thing.
And that was after.
And I at least go ahead.
Also, that was after they buried him on Raw. You remember when fucking the McMahons came out and Shane and Triple H and they're like, you know, Baron Corbin because he was the sheriff of Patty's or whatever.
Yeah,
at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And they blamed
that's how he saw himself in the group.
They blamed everything, like the low ratings. They blamed it all on him. And I'm like, wow, what a fucking cop out,
Constable Corbin.
What a cop out to blame your on screen character for your poor fucking decision making. Wow.
I also appreciate that they didn't try to continue forcing that thing with JBL and him being like the next wrestling god or whatever.
That was horrible.
When it was clear it wasn't working, they got rid of it.
Yeah.
Under Vince McMahon, they would have blamed it on Corbin. They would have fired him. Triple H instead went, no, this guy has some talent. There's something we can do with him. It just is not this.
Right.
So let's stop paying JBL to show up every week and put Corbin back in NXT where he can kind of repackage himself.
Send JBL back on tour with Jim Brewer.
Send for the man.
And all the others.
And then the only other two big things coming out of the Saudi show worth really getting into. First, the World Heavyweight Championship, Seth Rollins. Nobody surprised, I don't think.
Not at
He's on Raw. Yeah. I mean, we saw that coming. It was a good match, though, from what I heard, which is great.
And it led to...
Curious...
Well, it didn't lead to this, but one of my favorite moments of the week, I think it was Double or Nothing, it was Max Caster. Did you hear his rap? Where so it was a trios match. It was Billy Gunn and the Acclaimed versus the House of Black. And Max Caster comes out, he's making his rap, and then he looks at Buddy Murphy and says, something, you're getting cucked by a kid named Dominic. And
I did hear about this. Yeah.
And then apparently Rhea Ripley and Dominic tweeted something out about how they're over in two companies.
Now.
That's great. It's fantastic.
I'll give Seth Rollins this too. Did you see they redid the Shawn Michaels and Melina bit with him and Rhea Ripley?
Yeah.
Where he put his arm around her shoulder and she goes, wait a minute.
Wait a minute. You're a man.
That's just a funny bit. Yeah. That's just a good bit. I mean, the big thing coming out of again, of all things, Night of Champions in Saudi Arabia, the Bloodline is done, basically. I mean, in the sense that we finally had one of the Usos turn. It was not Jay. It was Jimmy, which is interesting.
Which actually, the more I thought about it, made sense. Because here you've had Jay being gaslit. I don't know the proper term for it. Gaslit.
Gaslit. You're right.
You've had him being gaslit for so many years, and he was doing it for his brother. And now Jimmy, who's seeing Jay take all this abuse, was like, no, fuck that, man. I'm your brother.
And that's what he kept saying to him. I'm your brother. We the ones, like, it's us, not this guy. We're the ones that are sticking together. It looks like Rikishi might get involved, which is very cool as their uncle, that he's kind of stepping in and going, finally, we're seeing what should be happening here.
It was a great moment, too. Before we talk about, the things that happened around it and what it could mean, just the part where he super kicks him the first time, and that was great. But it was after that, Roman's on his knees, and he's shaking it off.
Trying to shake it off.
And Jimmy tells Jay. Jay's been like, you can't do that. We can't do that, Uso. Why'd you do that? And Jimmy just looks at him and says, I'm doing what you should have done a long time ago. And then he says, it was my favorite thing. He says, I got you. And then he turns around and super kicks him again. That was a great moment. It was fantastic. I've been super
No, go ahead.
I've been super critical of the Bloodline since WrestleMania. I thought they should have pulled the trigger then. But, this made me go, okay, I get it. I actually agree. This was a great move. This was a fantastic this was a great twist. I'm worried that they're not going to – I'm worried that on SmackDown they're going to find a way to keep them all together. Some bullshit thing that this is not the destruction of the Bloodline. They're going to keep dragging it. I hope not.
I hope not to, because we've already done that, right? With the tease of whether or not Jay was going to go with Sammy and get away from them.
Yeah.
So you can't do it again. Combine that imagery of what you were talking about with Jimmy saying, I got you before the super kick, with, I don't know if you've seen the still shot of after the match is over, Sammy's up on the turnbuckles with both belts, and he's looking down at Roman, who is literally just sitting there with his elbows on his knees looking up at him.
Yeah.
And somebody said, I forget the way exactly they had phrased it when they were talking about it, but they're like, Roman Reigns will have to go, the character, of course, but Roman Reigns has to go to bed at night with the image of Sami Zayn looking down on him for the rest of his life.
Yep.
That's what he's got to contend with. And that's great. Fantastic. I mean, this continual fracturing and just the way that it's not the Bloodline really that's falling apart, it's Roman Reigns.
Yep.
Roman Reigns is the one who's falling apart. He can't keep control. He knew he couldn't. How long before Solo turns on him? They're already shoulder bumping each other and giving each other looks like, what is this?
And it makes sense.
Paul Heyman can't hold it together. Yes, it all makes sense.
Yeah.
So, like you, I've been critical of it because I really hated the way that Cody was done at WrestleMania. I still think that was a mistake. But I feel like at least they have heard, I don't want to say they've heard the complaints, but they recognize, whoever's making decisions has recognized, this story has run its course. It is as good as it's ever going to get, but we have to keep making forward momentum for it to remain this good.
Yeah, you can't just keep dragging out the same thing. It was a good turn. I wish it had happened anywhere except Saudi Arabia, but them's the breaks, I guess.
The important thing is that all you need to see is the clip.
And
the match itself was good. It was fine, but you can see the clip and then the proliferation of it, probably up to SummerSlam at this point. I mean, you got to imagine that's where some kind of big blow-off match is going to happen.
Well, now that the big question now for me is, now that we've hit, I think we've either hit or about to hit 1,000 days for Reigns. When do you
think he hit 1,000 days? May 27th, so 4 days ago.
So when do you take the title off of him at this point? Like, do you save it for Mania, which is crazy, I know, or do you take it off of him on a lesser show?
You got a couple.
Or do they do it in Saudi Arabia next show? You know, I could see it. No, I'm serious.
You're not wrong. You got a couple choices here. So chronologically, Money in the Bank is like one of the next shows, if not the next show, right? That's going to be the threatening one because nobody's going to cash in on Seth Rollins. He just won that thing.
Right.
Cash in on Roman Reigns, a fractured Roman Reigns, one Roman. Can't keep his shit together. Yeah, that could be a big deal. SummerSlam is your next big pay-per-view right around the corner. There's another Saudi show between that and Survivor Series, and then you got Survivor Series, which is another big show, but of course that's usually a team show.
Right.
Royal Rumble. I don't think that you do it at the Royal Rumble, but whoever wins it, obviously, then could go on to Mania. I think the most immediate threat is your Money in the Bank. Whoever wins Money in the Bank has got to be looking at what's, again, in kayfabe, has got to be looking at this guy and going, now is the time. Now is the time to strike on this guy when he's not paying attention. Wait until his family turns on him and then just sneak out there and grab those belts and get out.
And what should happen is it should still be Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes.
Agreed.
In one way or the other. And if it was me, have Cody win Money in the Bank. Have Cody then trade that in for a shot at Roman. And if they do something like, oh, well, you can only shoot, you know, for the brand that you're on, make it some weird stipulation. Have him turn it in early and say he's cashing in on Roman. He will trade his career for it. If he loses, he will leave WWE. This is how bad he wants to fight Roman again. And then have him beat Roman. It's not going to make up for what they did at Mania, but it's something to show that Cody would risk everything for one more chance at Roman. Now that he knows the bloodline isn't going to help him, have Roman lose. Like, it writes itself. But will they do that? Probably not. We'll see. Roman will probably be champion for another 30 years. He will.
We got to end on a downer note somehow.
Honestly, once Roman hits 4,000 days, that's when the legacy really starts.
Then they'll take the belt.
Yeah.
Right. Then when Cody Jr. comes after him, then
I think they're saving it up for -1. When he gets to be, you know, 20
gets
or 30,
old enough,
he's going to take
they'll bring
title
him in.
From him. Right.
Yeah,
do it for
and not at the first. I mean, he's got to pay his dues first.
He's
got to
fight Lesnar.
He's got to go through some hard times.
Yeah, like the big boss might say, "I'm tired of this. I'm done with this.
I'm done. I'm pull done. The plug.
I'll kill you, Roman." So the shows for the rest of the week. We're gonna bounce out of here. I gotta hit this. I gotta fight this treasure goblin at 10 real quick, and then I'll be right on.
Yeah.
See, the treasure goblin spawns every hour.
I got you.
And you got to get that treasure.
So it's like a Fallout 76 thing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like it's a Foshnacht. Yeah. Like you got to go do the. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And he has a chance to drop loot. I got to get that. I got to get Tyrael's mount, man, before Diablo comes out.
Yeah, yeah.
As we said last night, tomorrow is the launch of Diablo. So we'll be airing our episode from last week. We took last week off for the most part.
Yeah.
But we will have a new episode tomorrow. It's just not new to us, but it'll be new to you. And then we'll be back on Friday with an all new horse time. So that's
An all new cold open.
Finally,
did you see that today?
Yeah, finally.
Did you get to read it?
No.
Yeah.
Don't look.
Don't look in the horse time.
I have to look at the horses. I did what you did. I did yard work today. So yeah, I was out mowing, cleaning stuff up. I ended up mopping my entire house. I've got some new, graphics Lindsay bought me at Hobby Lobby. I don't go to Hobby Lobby for reasons. She bought, she bought some stuff for me, and it's some cool game stuff, some Pac-Man stuff for the arcade. So I'll be working on that. Nice. I've been working on that stuff. But anyway, so we got that for the rest of the week, and that's gonna do it for us tonight. So for myself and for Hunter, thank you guys for tuning in once again. Thank you, Dalton, for listening. We'll see you guys tomorrow for a sort of all new After Dark. Hunter, until then, please take us out.
Five Finger Death Punch is music for divorced bloodlines. We the ones.
Ain't no one. Ain't day one no more.